Throughout the ages, there exist quiet but courageous groups of heroes who love and cherish the lives of all beings. With their great compassion, these enlightened individuals have a clear-sighted understanding that, like human beings, animals are also sentient and are capable of feeling love, courage, protectiveness, pain, sorrow, and a range of other emotions. These individuals are heroes because they go against the current trends and social norm to live their lives as compassionate vegetarians. Their ideal is a noble one, and their compassion is truly admirable. Who are these heroes? They include past enlightened masters, yogis, spiritual leaders, scientists, artists, writers, celebrities, and other everyday fellow human beings. In admiration and gratitude, on our program we would like to honor these loving and compassionate vegetarian elite on behalf of our animal friends and co-inhabitants of our beautiful planet. A gracious greeting to all viewers, and welcome to Vegetarian Elite on Supreme Master Television. On today's segment, we will share with you some amazing historical insights and current creative campaigns on vegetarianism from our interview with Wren Berry, a best-selling author, historian, philosopher, professor, and vegan raw foodist. Mr. Berry's unwavering belief in the vegetarian diet began during his teenage years after discovering the writings of one of the foremost English romantic poets, Percy Bysshe Shelley, who advocated for vegetarianism. Subsequently, he discovered that many of his intellectual heroes, such as Nobel laureate writers George Bernard Shaw, Isaac Bacevis Singer, and universal genius Leonardo da Vinci, were among some of the vegetarian elite, and decided to adopt a more compassionate diet for himself.
Well, I became a vegetarian in my late teens, when I was a student in school, and I was in the process of learning about all these great figures in literature and history who were vegetarians, and at the same time I learned about the suffering that animals experience. Just before they're slaughtered, they excrete adrenaline and it saturates all their body tissues. And that, when I learned that, it prompted me to become a vegetarian. You know, when I realized that eating animal food entails suffering of other creatures, that persuaded me to.
Although what moved Mr. Berry to transition his lifestyle were ethical reasons, he noticed that his health and outlook also immediately changed for the better. Through the years, his diet has become more pure and simplified.
I've evolved as a lacto-vegetarian into a vegan. Mm-hmm. And then finally, for the past 12 years, I've been a raw foodist. I eat primarily fruit and salads. And so I can just buy fruit at a fruit stand and fuel myself whenever I'm hungry. It doesn't require cooking or, you know, wasting time toiling over a stove. So it's a very efficient way to live.
How do you feel?
Oh, well, I feel energized and have unflagging energy.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Wren Berry's soon-to-be-released book, Fruits of Tantalus, A History of Vegan Raw Foodism and Fruititarianism with Recipes, explores the anthropological, historical, and religious roots of raw foodism. In addition to raw foods, vegetarians enjoy visually appetizing and scrumptious cuisines made with creativity and compassion. During our interview, Mr. Berry explains to us why the vegan diet is a vital part of humanity's development, citing his years of scholarly research.
I learned more and more about our genetic and early anthropological history through gathering and through the eating of fruit that humans have evolved. Now, anthropologists have shown that it's fruit really that is responsible for the development of a big brain in humans. And she did a comparative study of the brains of primates, the frugivorous primates, like the spider monkeys, and then the leaf-eating monkeys, the howler monkeys. And she found that the brains of spider monkeys were twice that of the leaf-eating monkeys. And she theorized that...
The fruits, right?
Yeah, it was really the cultivation of fruit, mm-hmm. The eating of fruit that is responsible for the evolution in brain size.
Mm-hmm.
And that hunting but it's a very fruitless enterprise.
His careful study of cultures and anthropology have garnered Mr. Berry widespread recognition. He has been invited to lecture all around the world, from vegetarian associations in the United States to animal rights meetings in Brazil to World Vegetarian Congress in Germany. Mr. Rin Berry was born on the island of Honolulu, Hawaii, USA, and spent his early years growing up in Florida. After high school, he embarked on studies of ancient history and comparative religions. He graduated from the University of Pennsylvania and completed his graduate years at Columbia University, both prestigious and selective Ivy League higher learning institutions in the United States. Nowadays, he contributes his knowledge as a professor for a unique graduate course at the New School of Social Research in New York, USA.
And now you teach a college course about vegetarianism.
Yes,
right.
It surveys the history of vegetarianism mm-hmm. from at the Axial Age, which is around mm-hmm. 600 BC, to mm-hmm. the present, from the earliest written records mm-hmm. that we have. This is called the New School University. I give a course there. And mm-hmm. I also lecture frequently, and usually twice a month I'm called upon to give lectures at local and foreign and far-flung vegetarian societies.
Mr. Berry adds culinary expertise to his varied list of interests, having learned under Indian, Chinese, and Japanese chefs. In his book, Food for the Gods, Vegetarianism and the World's Religions, Mr. Berry combined his knowledge of religion, vegetarianism, and foods to include conversations with prominent vegetarian thinkers from each of the world's religions: Jainism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Towards the back of the book are vegetarian recipes from each religious tradition. Mr. Berry has authored several other books on top of this, including his popular, best-selling restaurant guide, The Vegan Guide to New York City. When we return from these messages, we will find out how an encyclopedia has even sought out Mr. Rin Berry for his knowledge on vegetarianism in history. You are watching Vegetarian Elite on Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to our special on author and historian Rin Berry, Discovering the Roots of Vegetarianism. If you ever come across historical records of vegetarianism in the Oxford Encyclopedia, you will now recognize the author.
In 2004, I was commissioned to write an essay on the history of vegetarianism for the Oxford Encyclopedia of American Food and Drink. And then subsequently, I was commissioned to write a condensed version of that article, and also a history of veganism and raw foodism for the Oxford Companion to American Food and Drink, which was published last year. So it's interesting to me that this is a book that is not intended for vegetarians, but it mm-hmm. is being used by gastronomic professionals and culinary mm-hmm. People.
As the public becomes aware of the benefits of a plant-based diet, they will discover the supportive research and testimonies from the medical community and the athletic professionals that it is the optimal way to live and enjoy life.
The medical evidence, of course, has become very persuasive and mm-hmm. cogent on that score. Doctors like Dean Ornish and McDougall have discovered that, and have shown that eating a vegetarian diet can reverse heart disease in many cases, and also slow and retard the spread of cancers. The top athletes today are vegans now, and certainly in the endurance sports. You know, people like Carl Lewis, who holds the record for the greatest number of gold medals, won in the track and field at the Olympics, and the man who holds the number of first place finishes in the triathlon, Ironman triathlon, has competed as a vegan. So the elite among athletes now are following a vegetarian regimen.
In the worldwide scramble to improve human and planetary health, Mr. Wren Berry's opinions and solutions regarding climate change and healthcare reform are rather simple.
Consuming fruit and vegetables reduces the carbon emissions, of course, and the slaughterhouse is one of the biggest sources of planetary pollution and carbon emissions. You know, if we eliminated slaughterhouses, we would drastically reduce the carbon emissions and then the greenhouse gases, and certainly the animals that are raised for slaughter, they liberate methane into the atmosphere. It would certainly be a great contribution to the sanity and health of the planet if people were to adopt a vegetarian diet, a vegan diet, ideally. Mm-hmm.
In deciding what to put up on our plates, we must carefully consider the health hazards of consuming a meat-based diet. Mr. Wren Berry alerts us to the shocking medical indications that common maladies like Alzheimer's could actually be misdiagnosed, incubated mad cow disease.
Mad cow is rampant throughout the world, of course, even in the U.S. Mad cow is quite pervasive. Unfortunately, the truth about mad cow disease, or bovine spongiform encephalitis, is suppressed. We don't examine our cattle and our livestock properly, and of course, because we feel it would be detrimental to the economic interests of the cattle industry. But many of the diseases, such as Alzheimer's and other cognitive diseases, are actually a misdiagnosis of the BSE, or what they call mad cow disease. Mm-hmm. And it's probably widely, widely contagious. It's hushed up and suppressed by the meat and dairy industry. They do autopsies, and they find people with these Alzheimer diagnoses often have spongiform brains. You know, their brains are perforated by it incubates. It takes as 12 years or more to incubate.
Today, for a multitude of good reasons, more and more people proudly proclaim themselves as vegetarians. There is a common misconception, however, that eating a vegetarian diet that includes fish and eggs makes one healthier. The reality is contrary.
They have these farm-fed fish, and the fish are now intensively reared, much as cattle and chickens are, in battery confinement, and they're injected with hormones, and they've diagnosed a form of a BSE among fish now. Fish are sentient creatures. They have eyes. They have a spinal cord. They experience suffering and pain as much as any land animal, and we certainly have no right to invade their habitat and terminate their lives for food. Certainly, from a health point of view, they absorb the heavy metals in the water, and their flesh is even more toxic than that of a quadruped. So, and of course, eggs are just embryonic, you know, the embryos of chickens. And chickens in the wild, they hide their eggs from predators, and you know, they certainly are not. It's, to take them is really a violation of the second precept of Jainism and Hinduism, which is non-stealing.
Come back to join us next week on Vegetarian Elite as we continue to discover our historical vegetarian roots with author and historian Wren Berry. Citing from his research and books, Mr. Berry will shed some light and logic on the fascinating facts showing how the vegan diet was a very common way of life in our ancestral times. He will also help to explain some common religious misinterpretations and introduce us to some other vegetarian elites from the past. Stay tuned. And now, coming up next is Between Master and Disciples, right here on Supreme Master Television. May wisdom from the divine light your path always.